Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are, and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We begin today where we left off on Friday in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Let me read the text for us. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." And this reminder, as we get going in a brand new week, we divided this command from God into two parts. Part 1 is verse 16, and we said that God begins his command with broad permission and an abundant provision. Man and later woman may eat freely. God is not stingy, but generous. And part 2 is verse 17. We said God joins together living in a good land with the keeping of his commandments. This deals with man and later woman's obedience to God. If they obey the command, they can stay in the land. If not, they will be forced out. And so this is how we began our discussion of these two pivotal verses. Let me lay out the plan for where we go from here. This week, I want to bear down on verse 17 and ask a few questions of the text. These questions will form our outline, the answers to which will help us understand some of the detail in the command of God. The last of these questions will take the longest to answer, because with the last question, we are going to pull way back and move out of the details to answer a broader question. We'll see if we can get to all this week. If not, we will carry this discussion into next week. And so your next logical question must be, well, then what are these questions that you want us to look at, Swallow? Well, I suggest I give them to you and answer them one at a time. The first question is, what do we notice about the command in verse 17? Let me read to you again the command. God says, "From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." What stands out to us about this command from God to man? Well, when you read it, you may see something I do not. But to begin with, for me, what really comes jumping off the page in my Bible is that man was given one and only one thing not to do. God prohibits once. Remember that verse 16 reveals the generosity of God. "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely." Then God gives only one single prohibition. God does not give a long list of do nots here. As man is created and put into the garden by God, God then only gives the man one do not. And this will apply to the woman also. Let me quote from our friend H.C. Leupold and his exposition of Genesis on this Monday. Quote, "Man is not to be confused by a multiplicity of issues. Only one divine ordinance must be kept in mind. By thus limiting the number of injunctions to one, Yahweh gives tokens of his mercy." I really like the way Leupold puts it. Man has only one do not to remember and obey. This is the mercy of God manifest to the man right at the start. Simply, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is not complicated. Man was given one and only one thing not to do. God prohibits once. Granted, the Hebrew language is very strong here. "Shall not eat" is better translated "must not eat." And "must not" is strong. So God gives one do not that is heard as "must not." Adam would have known there was absolutely no way he was to eat of this tree. And Adam conveyed that also to Eve when she comes on the scene later in chapter 2. The one thing they must not do is eat from this one tree. From all of the other trees, eat freely. Just do not eat from this one. It is amazing how we, today, are constantly looking for ambiguity in the commands of God. We like to get more than one interpretation on the law of God. We probe the commands for a different way to imagine what God has said because we're sinners through and through. Later, when you read Genesis 3, you will see that the serpent introduces ambiguity in the command of God where there was none. We're very often in favor of the serpent, and we certainly live in a culture that loves to misinterpret the commands of God so that it does not have to obey the commands of God. We also do not like to be told what not to do. But God is always so clear and concise in the way he gives his commands. There is no ambiguity. We are to receive the command the way it is written and obey it. And that is what this first man and woman were to do. They have one prohibition, and they had better obey it. And the second thing that I notice about the nature of this command is that this first man knew God. Adam, as he will be called, had an incredibly intimate relationship with God. God made him. God walked with him and talked with him. Adam starts off with no other companion but the living God, as we will see in verses 18 and following of Genesis 2. At this point in the true story, it is just God and man. And God then puts Adam in the garden in Eden. He just walks him right into paradise, as we read in verse 15. Given this, surely Adam knew that the command of God not to eat of this one tree was a command given in honesty. The first man must have trusted God. He had no reason not to. And because of this trust, the man knew to believe God. After all, we trust God because we believe God. So that when God said, "You shall not, you must not eat of this tree," God was being honest. God was to be trusted and believed. Adam has every reason, based on the nature of his relationship with God, to obey God. He has no reason not to obey God. I imagine that one day God and the man were walking along together in the garden in Eden, and they came upon this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God tells the man to look up at this stunningly beautiful tree. And God says, "From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die." The man must have believed God said this honestly, truthfully. God is to be taken at his word. That's the second observation I have made here in verse 17. Thirdly, I was also thinking about the love of God. God is love, and surely Adam felt the immense love of God minute by minute in this perfect garden, totally uncontaminated by sin. And then I was researching the text, and I came upon the insights of another of our many companions in Genesis, Dr. Henry Morris. He writes about this love in his readable book, The Genesis Record. I'm quoting at some length now, and I could send this to you if you would like it. Quote, "There was only a single minor restraint, but it would be this restraint that would test man's love for God, giving him an opportunity to reject God's word if he wished. True love is based on trust, of course, and it would have been altogether natural and appropriate for man to have been so grateful to God for all God had done for him, giving the man life, a beautiful home, and abundance of good food in profuse variety, and everything he would need or want, that his own love for God would cause the man to gladly follow God's will in all things. Seeing so much evidence of God's love, Adam should naturally assume that any instruction coming from God would likewise evidence God's love and therefore willingly obey it. End quote. I connected deeply with Dr. Morris's perspective on the love of God for the first man. So as man received such an abundant provision from God, as the Lord evidenced his love in the man's life, Adam should naturally assume that any instruction coming from God would likewise evidence God's love. That's right. Our question today is, what do we notice about the command in verse 17? I have three answers. Let me repeat these. My first observation is that man was given one and only one thing not to do. God prohibits once. My second observation is that this first man knew God. Given this, surely Adam knew that the command of God not to eat from this one tree was a command given in honesty. The first man must have trusted God and believed him. And my third observation, informed by Henry Morris, is that seeing so much evidence of God's love, Adam should naturally assume that any instruction coming from God would likewise evidence God's love. It will be valuable if you keep this in mind and sneak over to Genesis chapter 3 and read what happens there in those first 7 verses. That's Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. But I will not read that, as it's getting ahead of ourselves. Instead, when you come back and join me again tomorrow, we are going to move on to a second question and answer emerging from Genesis 2 at verse 17. By way of application, you and I can take what we have considered today and apply this to us. Let's put ourselves in Adam's place. Knowing what Adam knew, how would we respond to the command of God, this one and only prohibition? Let's think about that critically, and then join me tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.